You're always going to be lonely and miserable. No one's ever going to want you, love you. You are unlovable. Why even bother? Anybody else here ever hear that voice?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Jobe. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Joshua Hollick, and this evening I have Pastor Mark here live in the studio. Hi, Pastor Mark.
Hi, Joshua. Great to be here with you.
It's exciting to be able to serve the city of Chicago through the radio. And just before we get into tonight's message, we have one of our pastors, Kevin Bersema, was recently in a car accident. And Pastor Mark, you want to tell us a little bit about Kevin and how we can pray for him?
Yeah. We would like to encourage all of our radio listeners to really get serious and joining us in prayer over Kevin. Kevin is a dear friend and one of our pastors at New Life, pastored New Life Lakeview in the West Lakeview part of Chicago. He was in a tragic accident riding on a scooter. Someone ran a stoplight on a suspended license and threw him for 40 feet. And Kevin suffered severe brain trauma. And he has been recovering. He had a punctured lung, a fractured ankle, fractured vertebrae, and it has been a journey. So I'm asking those of you that know Kevin, those of you that don't know Kevin, if you could join us in prayer for Kevin. We want to see his recovery. We believe that God is sovereign, in control of all things, but we also believe that God has the power to turn tragedy into good. So if you would join me in prayer, I'd like to pause right now and pray for our friend Kevin. So Father, we can't always explain why tragedy happens, but we do know that you're in control. And so Father, along with thousands of my friends, we pause to pray for Kevin, Lord. You love him. You have a plan for his life. And so we pray for recovery. We pray for his the neurons in his brain to start to connect to the right places. We pray that healing and speedy recovery will come to him, Father. And we pray that you would sustain his children during this difficult time. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us in prayer. Continue to pray for Kevin Bersema and his family.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. And now we get into tonight's message.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Let's jump right into tonight's Straight Talk. It's the second half of Pastor Mark's message entitled Shut the Door Tighter. Our text will continue in the book of Luke, chapter 8. Here's Pastor Mark.
As a pastor, as a Jesus follower, I'm always interested in spiritual conversations, and I can go into a cafe or a restaurant, and I can pick up on someone says, God, and I, Bible, church, Jesus. I pick up on, I'll be in a conversation, someone's with me, my daughter's with me, I'll say, hold on. I hear like a spiritual conversation happening over there. And I'm just wondering if I should get involved in that spiritual conversation. And I have at times, and I've been able to pray for people and talk to people because there's a spiritual conversation. But it's not just the voices you're hearing, listen to me. It's the voices that you choose to focus on. Right now, as I'm speaking, there's conversations that are happening in your head. There are voices that are happening in your head. And some of it's a faith voice and some of it's a fear voice. And that you have a choice. And the choice is, what voice will I focus on? This man, Jairus, was hearing two words. One, daughter, your faith has healed you. And two, your daughter is dead. Let me tell you, I was thinking about this for a moment. And I was remembering that really that some of us believe that we can't hear two voices at the same time and we try to shut out another voice. But I believe it's whatever channel you focus on. When I was a kid, we used to play a game called King of the Mountain. Anybody play that game before? If you're in water, whatever flotation device is there, one person gets on, anybody else tries to get on, you push them off and you're the king of the mountain because there can't be two people floating. It's the same with faith and fear. Faith and fear will fight each other. And in the end, there's only one king of the mountain. In the end, your faith is going to push your fear out, or your fear is going to push your faith out. But you can't coexist for a long time with both faith and fear. They are at odds with each other. One will dominate the other, and it depends on which one you choose to focus on will determine which one becomes king of your mountain or your mind. Is anybody hearing me today? Because this is really important. And some of you are battling this in a mega way in your life. And I want you to notice what Jesus says to Jairus. So Jesus said, they said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." There's two things that Jesus tells Jairus to do. First of all, he says, "Stop being afraid." Jesus knew that fear and faith don't go together, and he was telling Jairus, "Put your fear away." Let me tell you what the voice of fear does. The voice of fear makes you either give up or it misleads your energy. The servant said to him, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother anymore." Have you ever heard that voice? "Your marriage is dead. Forget it. Stop fighting. Your son or daughter will never come back to God. Give it up. It's useless. You'll never get out of debt. You might as well file for bankruptcy. It's never going to change. You're never going to overcome depression. You will always be this way. Why bother? Why even try? You're always going to be lonely and miserable. No one's ever going to want you, love you. You are unlovable. Why even bother?" Anybody else here ever hear that voice? "You're never going to succeed at that. You will fail. Like your father did. You will never make it. Just give up. Don't even try again. You will never overcome that compulsive addiction in your life. It dominates you. It will have dominion over your life until you die. You might as well stop trying. Just give in to it. You will never break that addiction in your life. So don't bother." Listen, the voice of fear always tells us, "Don't bother. It's useless. You can't accept the worst case scenario. Or you'll spend a lot of energy worrying about something," because the voice of fear does that. It causes us to give up or misuse our energy. The second thing that Jesus said is, stop being afraid, but then Jesus says, only believe. I like the way he says it. He says, only believe, as in, don't believe and have fear, just believe. Don't try to believe and be afraid at the same time. Instead, only believe. Listen to the voice of faith as opposed to the voice of fear that's trying to dominate your life. The voice of faith has to be the king of the mountain. Two voices at the same time. A major change that had to happen in his family, and he was battling for it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about today. You have a major change that has to happen in your life. A major issue that you're facing. A major crossroads. And you're hearing the voice of fear, and you're hearing the voice of faith. And today I'm saying, listen to the voice of faith. Turn the channel. Stay on the faith channel. The voice of fear will always try to knock the voice of faith out. Stay on the faith channel. Listen to the voice of God. Yes. Number three. Sometimes you have to choose a tight inner circle of faith to incubate change. Because Jesus is like no other. I want you to notice what happens next in verse 51. It says, when he arrived, who's he? Jesus. I just like to hear you say Jesus. That's right. When who arrived?
Jesus.
when Jesus arrives, because he changes everything. So when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anybody go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people that were wailing and mourning for her stopped wailing. Jesus said, "She's not dead, but just asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. I want you to notice that Jesus took only Peter, James, and John of his inner circle into the room. And then the father and mother into the room. Now, I've thought a lot about this. If I were doing a miracle, I would want everybody to see. I'm like, hey, throw open the curtains, open the doors. All you skeptics and doubters, come here. You're going to see something that's going to blow your mind. You ever seen a girl get resurrected? You're going to see it right now. Come on, broadcast it. Zoom in on the camera, because you're going to see what's going to happen here. But Jesus did not do that. And I've asked myself, well, why didn't he do that? I believe there was a reason why he didn't do that. I believe that Jesus, the power of God operates best and is released more fully in an atmosphere of faith, in an environment of faith. That's where God works. And so he really kicks out all the doubters. And why did he pick Peter, James, and John? Those were the inner circle of Jesus. Those were the same three people that Jesus took to the mountain of transfiguration. When he transformed in front of them in this mountaintop experience, because Peter, James, and John were the strongest. They were the one whose faith was the greatest. And so Jesus picked his top people that really believed God, and he picked the mother and father, and he closed the door. This is where I got the title of my message from. He closed the door to the outside mockers, doubters, because he needed a tight inner circle of faith. Have you ever seen a rugby huddle? They just really get down and they huddle really close because they're trying to gain, or they're pushing because they want advantage over the ball. They get a tight circle, really tight.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Shut the Door Tighter, which is from Pastor Mark's radio series called Like No Other. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you some information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 8. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Shut the Door Tighter.
You see, the mourners and the wailers there, one commentator, Lane, says, since even the poorest man was required by common custom to hire a minimum of two flute players and one professional mourner in the event of his wife's death, it's probable that one who held the rank of synagogue ruler would be expected to hire a large number of professional mourners. Yeah, if you wanted a job in those days, you could say, well, okay, I want to be an electrician, a plumber, or a mourner. You would actually be paid by people to go and mourn at a funeral. Now, you may never have met the girl or know the family. I don't know. I'm just imagining auditions. Next. Okay, give me your best cry. Now, it doesn't look sincere. Come on, a little bit harder. Can you get tears now? All right. And if you did good enough, then you could become a professional mourner. Seriously, they hired people to mourn at funerals. So what do you have when Jesus shows up in the Gospel of Matthew? It says that there was loud noise and disorder. So there's people wailing and crying that don't even know the girl. And they're whining and wailing and crying and causing a commotion. And when Jesus walks in, he says, be quiet. The girl is not dead. Now, you know they're fakes because they go from mourning to laughing, it says. Jesus says she's not dead. And they go from, ah, to, ah, what? They're all laughing together. Why? Because this was a fake mourning. They didn't believe what Jesus had to say. And the Bible says, it doesn't tell us in Luke this, but it tells us in Mark chapter 5, it says, but they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, the verbiage used in this section of scripture when it says he put them all out is a verbiage of forceful getting them out. He didn't say, would you please exit? He said, out of here. Now. I love that about Jesus. He can be forceful sometimes when he really wants something to happen.
Amen.
He's like, out of here. I want a tight circle of faith. I want people that believe that change is going to happen. I need an environment of faith. People that really believe something is going to happen. Let me tell you, there are people in your life, sometimes your extended family, sometimes people around you, that they are like the mourners in the crowd. They don't believe that God can work in your life. They don't believe that God can do the supernatural. They don't believe that you're ever going to be different. They just don't believe it. And sometimes you have to say, you know, love you, bro. But you're not going to, you're out of the room. I need a tight inner circle of faith that's going to believe the words of God over the words of the natural world. That's going to believe the words of God over the words of the enemy. That's going to believe that God can do things that other people doubt he can do. I need a tight inner circle of faith that's going to agree with me about change that's coming. I believe that's why scripture talks about when two or three agree together about something. There's something powerful about agreeing together, and there's a unity there. There's a let's believe God together about this. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been full of faith and excited about God, and you get into a crowd that's really doubting, and you just don't want to share with them because you think they're not going to understand, they're going to laugh at it. But when you get around people that really believe, that it's a tight circle of faith, it's people of faith, then you start sharing because you know they believe with you. Have you ever gone to pray over someone and believe God to do something and there's some doubters out there? You just want to say, could you go over there while I pray? I need someone that believes with me. The Bible says, if you look at this scripture in Mark chapter 6, if you want to learn more about this, I believe that God works greatest in environments or atmospheres of faith. In Mark chapter 6, when Jesus went to his hometown, it tells us about Jesus, and he could do no miracles there, except that he laid hands upon a few sick people and healed them, and he wondered at their unbelief. He went to his hometown, where he had grown up, and people just knew him as, well, you're the son of Joseph and Mary, aren't you? You're the carpenter's kid. Jesse, right? You see, sometimes we get so accustomed to Jesus in a certain way that we can't see him in another way. Some of you grew up and you just knew baby Jesus. Some fixation with baby Jesus. This is a little cuddly baby Jesus. You need to read Revelation. Where he's not cuddly baby Jesus, but he's Jesus on a horse with a sword and fire and power coming as well. Because, listen to me, baby Jesus grew up. He's King Jesus now. Power and authority might exude from him. All principality, power, sickness, disease, and death itself have been placed under the authority of Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, who reigns in power and might. That's King Jesus. And the reason that he could do no miracles in his hometown, it's like some of you who have been touched by God and saved and God is working through you, you go to your old neighborhood and they know you as who you were, not who you are. And it's so hard for you to speak and teach because you're not You're not Joseph to them. You're Joey to them. You're not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in dignity. You're that little kid that used to struggle and get in trouble. It's hard for a prophet to be a prophet in his own hometown because people peg you as who you were, not who you are or who you are becoming. Some of you have become something new, but it's hard to go back to where you were and really be what God has called you to. Anybody hearing me today? Because this is really important. The Bible says he closed the door. And now it's Peter, James, and John, the father and the mother, and a dead girl. 12-year-old has been dead for several hours by the time they got to her bed. Leads me to point number 4. Never underestimate the power of God's word touch to bring about new life. A resurrection, because Jesus, well, he's like no other. Verse 54 says, but he took her by the hand. Who?
Jesus.
Took this girl. We don't know her name. He took the 12-year-old by the hand and he said to her, Talitha cum. In Mark, it tells us that he took her by the hand. And Jesus says, Talitha cum. Now you wonder why it uses that expression to refer to what he spoke into that girl's spirit. But Jesus spoke to this girl in Aramaic. Normally they spoke in Greek because it was the language of the common language. But there are dialects that people use. The language of the soul. And Jesus, when he speaks to this girl, doesn't speak in Greek, which is the common language. He speaks in Aramaic, which is the language that she played in. The language of the heart. He speaks and he says, he takes her by the hand and he says, Talitha cum. I just like the way it sounds. I don't know. Talitha cum. You know what it means? It means, little girl, get up. Some of you mothers need to learn that word for Monday morning. You're going to knock on your little girl's door and say, come on, Talitha cum, time to go to school. Some of you guys are out there, I know where I'm going to use it. Next time I get someone down, I'm going to say, Talitha cum, come on, get up, little girl. Jesus said, get up, little girl. I want you to notice something, that this girl was dead. Dead. Not passed out, not in a coma. She was dead. In the natural, it's impossible to resurrect her. In the natural, doctors would have been given up. Funerals are being planned because this girl is dead. But the Bible says that he said, get up, and verse 55, and her spirit, oh, I love this, only one can do this because he's like no other. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, and her spirit returned to her. How many of you know that we're made of body, soul, and spirit? And your body may stop, but listen, you are not dead until your spirit leaves. And only one has the power to reverse that. And his name is Jesus Christ. He commands the spirit world and the soul world and the physical world. And although her spirit had left her body, and that's what happens when you die, your spirit leaves your body. You are an eternal being, not because your body lives forever, but because your spirit lives forever. And Jesus spoken to her life, and her spirit that had already detached from her body, her spirit said, uh-oh, I'm been called. And her spirit came back to her body. The supernatural occurred. And the Bible says, and at once she stood up. And then Jesus said, give her something to eat. You say, Pastor, what's the significance of that? She's 12, she's hungry. You ever known any 12-year-old that's not hungry? You see, what I want you to understand from this is that he calls things to return that would never return in the natural, because he's the God of the resurrection.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Like No Other. And tonight was the second half of part two, Shut the Door Tighter. Join us again on Monday for part three, At the Table with Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We can send those out for just $5 plus shipping. We invite you to visit one of our 25 New Life locations this Sunday. Check us out at our website, www.newlifecommunity.church. That's newlifecommunity.church. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks so much for listening. Please do join us again on Monday as Pastor Mark continues his series like no other. Have a great weekend, and God bless.